We are lucky to sit down today with musician, podcaster, writer, activist, and anarchist David Rovix to talk about the Portland Emergency Eviction Response, an important direct action happening in the city of Portland, Oregon. Welcome, David, and thank you so much for joining me virtually today.
Thank you. Pleasure to be with you.
All right. Can you tell us a little bit about Portland Emergency Eviction Response?
It's very much just getting off the ground right now, but what we've got set up is basically a secure website where people can share their phone numbers with us. No other information is necessary, just phone numbers, and then they will get text notifications when we hear about an eviction that's taking place. And the basic idea of the response of eviction response, like in this direct action type of eviction response, is just that the eviction should be abolished as a means of resolving anything, just like just along the lines of the defunding the police. It's very much the same principle that this should not be how issues get resolved in society, forcing people at gunpoint to leave their homes. So that's the idea is to just it's rooted in a lot of history of rent strikes throughout this country and throughout the world, which often follow a certain pattern, which along the lines of when there's some kind of an eviction or other action by the police taking place somewhere, then people have a system of being notified. Traditionally, like in the 1840s, it was a tenant farmer blowing on the tin horn, and then the noise carrying through the hills of upstate New York in the case of the rent strike in upstate New York in the 1840s. But in other times, it's been a telephone tree or various other ways of getting the word out. But the text, I don't know if we're still calling it a text mob, but the text, the phenomenon of signing up for text messages, I think is a pretty good way to kind of notify people of something that's happening quickly, so that they can hopefully drop everything and come to where the eviction is taking place. And it tends to be the case in many different instances that just a few dozen people showing up to an eviction can drastically change the course of events. And there's no guarantee, it depends on a lot of different circumstances. But that's the idea is you could call it bearing witness to evictions, but it's also the fact is that observers influence the experiment in many cases, whether or not people are committing direct action of any kind or trespassing or doing anything that the police deem to be illegal, which is also often part of similar kinds of actions, whether people, in the 1930s, and many people are talking about the 1930s because basically we're in a new depression, as many people are increasingly acknowledging in the mainstream media. In the 1930s, the councils of the unemployed were a powerful force in this society, and also the same kinds of thing as the councils of unemployed in the cities also existed among farmers in the countryside that were mainly concerned with preventing evictions of people from their apartments and houses and their farms. And the means that they employed often involved if evictions were carried out, then people's belongings were taken back into their apartments. Whether or not anything like that can necessarily take place here, it's all conjecture, because I think I'm not the organization, I'm not the network, I'm just trying to set up the network and try to at least be able to have some kind of a system in place to be able to respond to local evictions. That's my only not very lofty goal, is to just set up a basic network.
So the emergency eviction response is about direct action. It's about stopping evictions in real time. It's about community coming together. What about landlords? Do you have any demands for any of them if they're out there listening?
What has driven the incredible increase in the cost of housing has been this sort of uncontrolled, deregulated structure after the financial crisis of these big banks buying up all of this property and buying up all these buildings. So, I mean, it's such a surreal. Anyway, yeah, if they're listening, if somebody's listening, capitalism has gone completely out of control. And this was before the pandemic. Your lobbyists are destroying this country. Your lobbyists have caused such a degree of corruption in the state legislatures across this country that they're not even capable, it seems, of governing on behalf of renters or other members of the working class. And ultimately, societies that become this stratified and this unstable fall apart. And that's what's going to happen unless we reverse course and drastically change the relations between the increasingly rich rich and the increasingly poor poor in this failed state called the United States.
Do you have any advice for people who are just now starting to get involved with what we previously termed radical politics?
I'm so loath to give advice because, in a sense, because it's like, you know, I don't listen to the old people necessarily, you know. But having said that, my only real advice, I think, would be seize the moment because, I mean, and this isn't just advice to other people. This is advice to myself, too. It's advice to everybody, not just young people, but anybody involved with what's going on right now. Seize the moment because even if this does continue to grow and become a larger social movement and develop even you know, all kinds of structures of organization that will make it bigger and stronger, even if all that happens, as I hope and actually expect it will, at some point that may stop being the case and things may not be growing and getting bigger and stronger and more organized. And if it goes on long enough, the growing and the strengthening of the movement, it can be intoxicating and it can feel like you're going to win, but and you may not win, but seize the moment because it's when the window is opening that you have the best opportunity to open it further.
That's great advice from someone who doesn't want to give advice.
Thank you.
You're a father. You mentioned you're walking right now with a stroller. How do you raise radical kids?
Oh, I love that question. I mean, there's this brilliant woman named Naomi Aldort who wrote a book called Raising Our Children, Raising Ourselves. And if people are looking for a sort of a blueprint or, you know, a textbook on how to raise radical kids, then, you know, these books do exist and there's really, really great stuff out there. And books are very useful in a lot of ways. You can really learn a lot from a book. But I think the best way to raise radical kids, I mean, somebody said the best thing I ever did as a parent was give my children my full attention. I don't even remember who said that, but I think that's really good advice. And don't teach them. Just help them, provide them with structure and appreciate them and then let them do their thing. And you don't need to teach them. They model everything from the world around them. And the best thing you can do in terms of any kind of like teaching is modeling and who you are and how you behave and how you interact with other people is what they're going to get out of you.
So lead by example.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. Where can people find more resources about Rent Strike, about Peer? How can they get involved?
Well, To sign up for text notifications, they just go to artistsforrentcontrol.org and then click on where it says Portland Emergency Eviction Response. And that's in terms of showing up for evictions that I eventually expect to happen. I mean, because this city and the county has done the best job of sort of kicking the can down the road of anywhere in the country, which is really good. It's just that it needs to be pushed further. And if they don't, if real reforms don't happen in terms of canceling rent and hopefully also deferring mortgages, speaking of small landlords, but if that doesn't happen, then there's going to be a wave of evictions and we need to be able to be ready to respond to them. And so that, as far as that goes, as far as plans for direct eviction response, that's what I am trying to set up. But I would very much encourage people to be involved with the Portland Tenants United and other organizations that are representing tenants, and to just, there's so many ways that people can be involved. I think actually as much as it is maybe you can say, maybe the internet has its severe limitations, but popular education is really important because people need to be able to imagine how the world can be a different place. Otherwise, we can't, what are we going to do when we defund the police? You know, people have to be able to imagine what can society be like? How will it be structured if, do things have to be this way? If you're poor, do you have to be poor? If you've gone generations without anybody being able to afford to buy a house, does that have to be how it is? And, does there have to be this kind of inequality? How do we overcome things like historic, multi-generational wealth existing in some white families and barely existing at all in black and brown families? You know, these kinds of questions need to be really tackled. And it's easy to say Black Lives Matter, but what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about the extreme inequality in the society, which is so much wrapped up around race and class? You know, you can't just only talk about things like bias and personal growth and police who are members of fascist organizations, which is all a big problem and really serious. But what about the structural problems that continue to perpetuate the terrible schools that exist in so much of this country and the lack of opportunity? We have very little social mobility in this country compared to many other countries. Like, just about any country in Europe has better social mobility than we have here. And that's our this legacy of inequality that is perpetuated through racism and through the, once you already have inequality in so many ways, it becomes very hard to overcome. And actually it tends to perpetuate itself. It tends to get worse in many ways, as we can see with the last financial crisis as well. You know, that it's that increased the stratification of wealth, the way that the rich dealt with that crisis by buying up assets. And the Great Depression, they did the same thing. And they'll do it again now if we can't stop them.
David, is there anything else you'd like to say before we sign off?
I would just say that social movements can accomplish anything. So if anybody is feeling hopeless, you might have good reason to feel hopeless, but if a movement gets big enough and well-organized enough, it can potentially accomplish anything. And I'm not promising that that's going to happen, but it can happen. And the moment is looking very interesting in a lot of ways.
You've been listening to a conversation with David Rovix of the Portland Emergency Eviction Response. To find out more and get involved, go to artistsforrentcontrol.org.